This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Farmers have always been an ingenious lot when it comes to survival. Growers have been challenged by disease and pestilence, not to mention the weather, and they have adapted and overcome. The town of Enterprise, Alabama, erected a monument in 1919, scripted, in profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity for the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama. The boll weevil devastated their local cotton industry. They had struggled to produce cotton, and the boll weevil forced them to look for alternative crops. They started growing peanuts, and it turned out to be the best, most profitable thing that had ever happened to them. There is a lesson here for Florida orange growers. The Florida citrus industry has been hammered by both disease and also declining consumer demand for juice. U.S. consumers drank 5 gallons of orange juice per capita in 2002, but drank just 2.6 gallons last year, so they have lost their desire for OJ. Bottled water was likely the greatest competition. Florida OJ production reportedly dropped 70% over the period. Citrus greening, a currently incurable disease, destroyed many orange groves, so that it has been a rough time for the Florida citrus industry, producing supply and sustaining demand. They are investing heavily in a cure for citrus greening. GMO orange trees may be an answer, but they are labeling OJ containers GMO-free, which would seem stupid if that was the answer to greening. I buy OJ without GMO-free labels. The Florida citrus growers have been looking for their peanuts, searching for alternative crops. According to the Wall Street Journal, some growers have planted pagamia trees, which produce beans that are 40% oil content. The oil is used to make lubricants and biodiesel. Other growers are trying plums, peaches, blueberries, and olives. The industry warns not to write its obituary yet that while they have not found their peanuts, they may do so. I doubt that they are ready to erect a monument thanking citrus greening anytime soon. There were many things that happened over the weekend, so maybe that is why the news coverage of the meeting between the president and Japanese Prime Minister Abe was low-key. North Korea shot off another missile while Trump and Abe met. Trump will have an extremely low tolerance of such insults. They're going to have to deal with that Korean crazy maniac. That will come up when Trump meets with the Chinese. While Japan does run a $60 billion trade surplus with the United States, they argued their case that they make the majority of their vehicles here in the U.S., hiring U.S. workers. They also reportedly presented plans for U.S. investment that would create 700,000 new jobs here. The impression that you get is that Japan is not going to push back very hard on anything. They're more worried about China, and they want to get along with the Trump administration. It'll be interesting to see the details when they get down to negotiating a bilateral trade agreement. I know that I expect everything in it or more for the ag sector that was in the TPP. You're listening to the Comstock Report. The Wall Street Journal noted that U.S. urea production capacity increased 10% last year, and when new plants under construction in the United States come online, production capacity will expand 24%. Nitrogen should get cheap, right? Local nitrogen prices have been rising. Don't know whether distributors underestimated nitrogen demand or farmers decided to plant more corn. The crop insurance average price is set this month and is running about a dime above a year ago. I calculated my corn production break-even at $3.50 a bushel, so given our basis, elevator margins are excellent. The new crop price is just above break-even. That doesn't pay all the bills. New crop soybeans are about $1.40 above last year and have better margin. I'm not planting corn on corn this year, which shifts my acreage mix toward soybeans. The recent U.S. drought map is an eye-opener. All the red that we've gotten used to for so long has nearly disappeared, even in California. With the summer weather models turning more El Niño-like, trendline plus yields are expected again. It'll be very hard, if that is the case, to bring down carryovers. I think there is a much greater chance that corn and soybean carryovers increase significantly, but the funds are currently whistling by the graveyard, ignoring that prospect. The soybean harvest in the model grows so is nearing 50% complete, and yields have been very good. There's no real weather threat in South America, and this is the most critical growing month down there. Strong USDA South American yield production forecasts are hardening. The second corn crop is just going in, but conditions are favorable for that too. Brazilian farmers have been waiting for what they anticipate will be a better currency exchange rate to sell, while farmers here are waiting to see how goofy that the funds will get, pushing prices higher before selling here. The corn market has gone up on fund buying and lack of farmer selling. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.